Hare Krishna. And this is our 11th Govardhan retreat. That means for 11 consecutive years, this retreat has been taken place without fail. And I believe at the end of this retreat, we all, teachers and participants alike, feel, wow, that was something. It's almost like a journey when it's completed. You feel, this was, das war das. This was something, you know. Sometimes I just think the mother tongue carries very strong meanings. So I hope that this was something for all of you, and that you have found something. I would like to encourage you, the real effect of the of the Govardhan retreat can be felt afterwards. You will see when you go to the place which you use to call home, that something is different with you and your relationship, and you might in relationship to the place, you might also see, oh, it's a pity that I begin to feel this is home. It's a pity. It's not normal. I wish I would be different, but I need another Govardhan retreat next year. I would like to give a point, a small point, for you, which I request you to think about very deeply. This morning, I heard a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, which I found particularly relevant to my own life and my own musings. Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Los Angeles, and I believe it was a public program because he addressed his audience with, "My dear ladies and my dear gentlemen, I thank you for kindly participating in this program of Krishna consciousness." He used to use these words when he addressed the uninformed public. And then he starts his lecture in a very interesting way. He goes back in time and he says, when I was incorporating and registering the society, a friend came to me and said, and talked with me about the name of the society. He said, "Better you don't call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is much better here in America if you use a known word, call it the International Society for God Consciousness." It was clear from how Prabhupada dealt with the point that he thought about this point, but he decided differently. He said, "No, I called it Krishna consciousness, because if there is a name for God which fits best, it is Krishna. Why? Because the name Krishna carries the meaning of what is God the best. It means the all-attractive one." And then he said, in Vrindavan, he starts with the bees were attracted to Krishna, the trees, the birds, and he goes through the fauna and flora of Vrindavan. That means the plant population and the living, the animal and human population, all are attracted to Krishna. So therefore, because of this all attractedness, that must be Krishna. It was said about Michael Jackson that when he danced, girls would faint. But men would think, this idiot, he was not all attractive. Hare Krishna. I read this on an airplane. God, one day I use it. The mosquitoes were not attracted to Michael Jackson, maybe to his blood. The dogs, not. You know, the Rolling Stones fans, certainly not. What I want to say, only as a relatively small section was attracted to this person. To Krishna, everyone is attracted when they would see Krishna. We saw that in the Venu Gita, even the rivers were attracted to Krishna. They stopped their flow and built whirlpools, which indicated that they were totally, in their hearts, totally churned, the attraction churned their hearts. So Prabhupada insisted, no, this is Krishna consciousness, not God conscious. Now, I would like to say something to poke a little bit at your egos. My dear devotees, how attracted are you to the personal form and activities of Krishna in Vrindavan? I want to remind you of my experience in ISKCON, and I'm happy that Urmila Mataji had the same experience. Nowadays in our society, if you talk about Krishna and you say his lips are red like bimba fruits, you know, devotees look at you and say, and look at you and think, is this appropriate? Some might even think of you that you have some sexual disorder to think about this. Our movement has fallen asleep to Krishna. It has to be awakened again. Because the Krishna concept, this is now very important, is something which your material mind can't think. You have to have a spiritually informed mind. Not a worrying mind, not an anxiety-laden mind, not a materially full mind. You have to agree that the mind gets transformed. Mana Shiksha. By the instruction. And that's a hard thing to do. That's something which comes to you when you see that, oh my God, my relationship to Krishna. I mean, we are called Krishna consciousness. We don't think about Krishna so much. We think it's strange. There is a chapter in the book Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. It's a book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is highly interesting because it describes really the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. And then he comes to the sixth, he doesn't call it a chapter, but he calls it a rainfall because it's so nectarian, these chapters. These chapters are rainfalls. And he said, he calls it, the chapter is for those aspiring for love, for prema. And he says, those who want love in their life, prema, love of Godhead, the very first thing they have to understand, that Krishna, his name, the Yamuna, the land of Vrindavan, are not material. It's all spiritual. It's all transcendental. If you wish to have love for Krishna, you must engage your mind with these things. Things is not the right word. With Krishna, with his land, and so on. Otherwise, you will not get towards the goal of Krishna consciousness, to love of Krishna. It will not happen to you. So, my dear devotees, you must know that the aim of your spiritual practice in this movement for Krishna consciousness is really to draw the mind away from matter and to fix it on Krishna. As long as our mind will remain attached to matter, our bhajan, that means our spiritual practice, will be at best shallow. Mostly it will not be even there. This point of thinking about Krishna with the mind and filling the mind with Krishna is not something which is on the second place or the third place or some place. It is the first and foremost place. It's because of helping us that Srila Prabhupada hurried in his translation of the Bhagavatam, and before coming systematically to the 10th canto, after doing the translation of all the 9th canto, he said, I don't know if I live long enough. Let me better now give the devotees information on Krishna, personal information on Krishna. And he made a summary of the 10th canto in the form of the Krishna book. He considered it so important that he broke the rule of authorship, and he just jumped ahead with the story. He knew the Bhagavatam would install Krishna in the mind of the people. It's one of the five factors which give you a love for Krishna. And he knew, especially the 10th canto, which is carefully presented with the preceding, carefully prepared by the preceding 9th canto, is so important to inject Krishna into our dull minds. And he wanted to do that. He came for this. He considered this very important. So where I'm aiming at is something which I want to call out to the world. I want to stand on the streets and open my arms and call it to in the ears of the passengers. And this is a very important point. Our movement is not the movement for the philosophical delineation of certain principles and the rules which support those principles, so that the God can be established. It's about a cowherd boy in a village. And the love for him. This is a very, very challenging concept, especially for us Westerners, and also still for me. I'm not saying I'm beyond I'm there, not at all. You need to make your mind your friend. That means you need to learn how to think of Krishna. Therefore, mana shiksha is important. It's not less important. The rishis of old have gone through all the Vedic scriptures, back and forth. And after studying them all, they have found out that it's all about two things: to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. So in this Govardhan retreat, all the presenters have done their level best to bring us to not God consciousness, but to Krishna consciousness. And it's I request you to take this momentum, this inspiration to your heart. Finally, I want to say, if you don't do this, you might be in the situation of the old woman. There was once an old woman. Now, listen carefully, this is not about old women are forgetful or something. This is about us. She came to a lecture, a series of lectures on the Ramayana. There was this Brahmin Pandit marked her because this woman would shed tears, abundant tears, while she listened to the Ramayana. The Pandit got really inspired. My God, this is my best audience. She takes the matter of the Ramayana to heart. She cries for Rama. And so every day his ego became more inflated as got Ramayana katakara. And then one, when the katha ended, he just called the woman out of the crowd to come to him and said, "My dear old lady, you are crying when I talk?" "Yes," said the lady. "It touches my heart very much." So the Pandit thought, finally someone appreciates the high quality of my Rama Katha, which is full of Rama Baba. No. He said, "That's so see," he smilingly said, wanted to evoke a more glorifying answer. Even she said, "And why do you cry so much? Is it there must be the move? What particular narration moves you so much that you cry?" What do you say? And she said, "I'm crying because I had a goat, and the goat died 8 days ago. And when I look at you, your beard, is it called beard or beard? Sorry, your beard reminds me so absolutely of the beard of my late goat that I'm just crying for my goat. My goat was called Zisi." The Pandit was shocked. "You are laughing, but my dear devotees, don't we do this often? When we are in Krishna, in this movement where we should be Krishna conscious, we are so often so goat conscious, I mean so material conscious. We get it all wrong." We have a unique opportunity, but because we have not yet arisen to the actual fact that this is all about Krishna, loving Krishna, and this is the goal, and we have to try again that Krishna comes in our mind, then we just don't get it, and we join the rank and files of universal spiritual failures. A chance missed. That is how we can, this is the heading of our life. My dear devotees, who can help us in this deplorable situation? The example of the rivers of Vrindavan can help us. When Krishna would play his flute in the distance, the rivers of Vrindavan stopped, and they so much wanted to embrace the lotus feet of Krishna. They wanted Krishna, but they couldn't. They could go a little bit about the embankments of the river, but Krishna would not always play his flute right there on the banks of the Jamuna. He would be in the forest. And the rivers then thought, "We are stationary. We don't move out of our river." We are not stationaries, but we can't move out of the confinements of the river banks. We are confined there. We have to flow there. We can't just flow 1 kilometer or half a mile through the forest of Vrindavan and just catch Krishna's lotus feet. We are not that fortunate. We can't go there. But still they thought, who can help us to get Krishna, to get the touch of Krishna? And then they thought, well, we have to go to the follower of Krishna, the wind. The wind is always around Krishna. It caresses his soft body. It carries the fragrance of Krishna's body to the devotees who are in pain, out of separation from him. And he can walk freely here and there and everywhere. So they pray to the wind, and the wind... You know, everyone in Vrindavan is Satchit Ananda, full of bliss and knowledge and consciousness, heard the prayer, and it took the dust of Krishna's lotus feet and blew it to the rivers, and then the rivers felt the touch of the dust which is imbued with the Rati, with love, with pure love of Godhead, because Krishna's feet have touched it and it printed the love on the dust. So when we come to, when we want to develop Krishna consciousness, or when we want to, how do you say, to inject into our mind Krishna, we have to know where we, who are also a little immovable in our consciousness, who are always the same, who seem to not change, where can we get help from? In India there is a saying, it's easier to move the Himalayan mountains than to move a person's character. Before coming to Braj, we visited Bararikashrama, and I tried to move a little bit the mountain just to be prepared for this concluding lecture, and I just breathed very yogically, and then I went to the mountain and tried to move it. I know already I can't do it, but and while I was trying this, I became very convinced that the mountain cannot move. It's I even have still shoulder pain when I did this active learning exercise, you know. It's very difficult to move a mountain, but it's more difficult to move you. And me is most difficult to move. Where is help? Where is help? Where is help in this situation? The help comes from that, these generals of devotees, the real big devotees, the and it was interesting how you all felt when Umala came with this ISKCON appellation, the big devotees, you know, we somehow had some ISKCON jargon, the oldest are the big devotees, and you know, when this word floated here to the speakers, I know it's big devotees, everyone went like, that's not me, you know. Madhavananda got a little deeper. In physical size, his spine just moved a little, bent a little bit more, and it came to, and the word floated to me, said, it's not me, I know who I am. It must be Giriraj Maharaj. And then I learned from Burija that everyone thought this is the big devotee there, Giriraj, you know. Yes, we need to go to those. We need to have the social platform intact in ISKCON. Yes, we need to serve the devotees who are here, and Krishna will be satisfied. Very, very important. Very good. Very necessary. We need to establish communities of cares, of loving care, and Krishna will be satisfied. But we need to also read books like Krishna book, where we hear Srila Prabhupada's life breath. We need to follow the words of the gopis in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam when they describe Krishna. We need to go to Mana Shiksha and allow ourselves to get a solid bashing, ego bashing, when Raghunath Goswami talks about the different bad qualities and so on. And we need to be there. Be here in Krishna consciousness exactly now. This is very important. You have to connect with this and to connect with Krishna. And if this Govardhan retreat has helped you in this awareness, if this Govardhan retreat has given you some deep impressions, if this Govardhan retreat has helped you to become a little bit more desirous to hear about Krishna, then this retreat was a success. If the Govardhan retreat has helped you to understand that there is still some room of improvement in the life, then it's also successful. Some devotees told me, "Oh, Maharaj," they said, "I could understand that there is still some room of improvement in my life." And I said, "Wonderful, wonderful. I understood this the whole Kartik in my life, how important that it is to enter this room." So I request you all very, very gently, I want to now switch off this intensity and so on. I really request you from my heart, please, my dear devotees, as you return, return marked with Krishna. Don't rub this mark off your mind. Your mind has now been marked by hearing so much. Don't rub it off. Don't put so much mundane things over it. Don't put anxieties over it. Don't wipe it off. Keep that mark on your mind. Be proud of this mark in your mind. And please also consider to return to Giriraj next year. Make it a sadhana, a part of your life, to come to Vrindavan and in the sacred atmosphere here, and inspire others as well. Please, this is not something, it's not a geographical spot like so many other geographical spots in the world. It's a place where love of Krishna can be most easiest be had. So please come back again and again, inspire others, and please hear more about Krishna. When you chant, connect your mind with the vibration first, and you will see when you have done that and the mind is resting in the sound will carry it to Krishna, because the sound is Krishna. You will see all these wonderful things. Don't remain the eternal neophyte in ISKCON. Bring life to your spiritual life by remembering Krishna and not forgetting him. Seek help from the great devotees and their wonderful books, but seek also help from each other, meet devotees, talk about Krishna, chant Krishna in these. It's Kali Yuga, it's a dark age. We need the light of Krishna shining from his toenails through the darkness of this age. We need that very much. Finally, I want to thank you very much, and I want to excuse myself. Sometimes I'm a little bit annoying. I know this. I have heard this. It's for a good reason. I want to say things in a way that you know them, but deep in my heart, I know you are much bigger devotees than myself, and I need your blessings, and all the best for you, really all the best. And before you leave the sacred area, just turn to Giriraj. Actually, maybe we should do this now. And see? Or you have something else in mind?
No, I think we now it's the time for the ending. If you'd like to end it in that way, okay. Just have everyone turn.
Yes, but actually, Bhujang Prabhu, you are best suited.
No. Please continue.
All right. So now comes the time of turning. Your turning point. Again and again. Look to Giriraj.
Open your prayer.
We will sing just three Hare Krishna mantras, then I will stop, and we will then offer our individual prayers in silence, and in this way conclude the retreat.